All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, you're familiar with Chips Ahoy.
I am. It is the only snack that is also a warning.
It is a warning, and the reason it's a warning is because for a time, we were very concerned about how many chips were in our chocolate chip cookies.
Very concerned that there would not be enough chips, and also that there would be too many peanuts in our mixed nuts.
Yes. It was like thread count. You know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I've taken a series of chocolate chip cookies, and I've got a series of numbers here, and these correspond to games, and you're going to pick a cookie, and then depending on how many chips are in it, you're going to say, Chips Ahoy, to let us know that they're chips, and then depending on how many they are, that's going to choose the game.
Gotcha.
Okay. Make sure you warn us, though.
Okay, I will warn you. So okay. I just grab one of these here?
Is that, yeah, is choose that what which cookie you like. Oh, okay. I wouldn't pick that one.
No.
How is your stomach doing? Is it okay?
Is it like one of Moe's or regular Oreos?
There's only one way to find out, but I wouldn't do it if I were you.
No. Okay. Let's not do that. Okay. I'll just grab this one over here. So let's grab. Why? Mm. What?
Nothing. I mean, we got a long day ahead of us. I guess that one's fine. Cole, would you put on gloves? That would make me feel better.
I don't see why, but okay. I'll put on gloves here. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm gonna avert my eyes. You tell me when you've eaten the cookie.
Are you gonna poison me? Is this how the Cole Ross story ends?
Define me in that sentence. Define you.
How many other me's are there?
Yeah. How am I not myself?
Okay. Well, all right. Okay. So, chips ahoy. And then just take a bite. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Just count right. The chips, though. You have to count them with your stomach.
Yes. let me eat it all. I'll eat it in one go, and then I'll shake my stomach around and count the chips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little, yeah. All right. No, I feel, I feel eight chips. There were eight chips in that cookie.
Let me cross-reference that with this thing. You feeling okay, fever? How's your heart? Is it irregular or is it regular?
It doesn't feel different than before.
I'm just changing the subject.
No, it feels fine. Are you testing additives on me? Is that what's going on here?
Making conversation is what I'm doing.
Okay.
And you're making it difficult.
Most people don't like have a stethoscope to my chest when they're making conversation.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm not most people.
Okay.
Keep Portland weird.
Okay.
We like to be a little quirky.
Behind that,
we're just a little quirky over here. Yeah. We poison cookies a little differently here.
Okay.
Looks like eight corresponds to Cookie Clicker.
Okay.
Yeah. I hate this shit, and I'm gonna make this episode miserable. That's not true. I have a lot of feelings on incremental games.
Now it's going to be everybody's problem.
Yeah, it's a welcome to hell. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Welcome to Abject Suffering, where you have no idea how it feels to be a fembot living in a manbot's manputer's world.
Futurama.
Yeah.
And this week we're talking about Cookie Clicker. This was a patron demand from Jason. Jason has an exclamation mark on the end of it. That is why I'm doing the Heavy Rain kind of cadence on that. So if that's what they, Jason's been a patron forever. So I'm just going to throw that in there. Cookie Clicker, famous, are they not calling them idle games anymore? You said incremental game.
There's discourse.
Are you telling me there's discourse in video games?
There's discourse in video games. So like idle games, a lot of gamers don't like idle games, and they use it as a negative, pejorative for them, myself included. Like if something feels like an idle game, I feel like I know what that means.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it says something about a game. But because they're not technically idle, you do things during them. A lot of idle game incremental game fans want to use the word incremental.
Gotcha.
There is a vague difference. It's like whether it plays itself, you know, even though my understanding is they all basically do, it's just like a shitty way to play itself.
Right, right. It's like you're setting up automation, but you're never actually automating because that is not the ideal way to play it. You know, specifically with Cookie Clicker, like you could just leave it running and let it go. But if you are not immediately reinvesting your cookies in upgrading your little production things, then you are actually not playing the game because you're never going to grow fast enough just by having it sit there in the background.
Well, there's kind of my problem with a lot of this is like fast enough.
Yes.
You know, what does that mean during this? Like I, you know, our mutual friend, Will Hughes, big fan of incremental games. Me and Will like talking to each other to see, you know, understand each other's gamer psychographics.
Yes.
Right. So I've heard all of the arguments for incremental games. I understand what Will likes about them, what the appeal is quite a bit. My understanding, and it's something that doesn't appeal to me, you know, like there is not in Cookie Clicker, but in other ones of these, there are mechanics and ways to increase efficiency and perform mastery. You know, there's strategy involved in a very safe place where there's not a fail condition. There's just degrees of winning and you choose when you're done. And you also, if you're a person who gets dopamine from big numbers, you get big numbers.
Right. There was one of these that I kind of fell into maybe like 2 years ago. NGU Industries, I think is what it was called.
That's one of his big ones.
Yeah, that had like you're placing like little factory units, and the order that you lay it down, that you lay the different units down in relation to like little accelerators that you have that accelerate in different patterns around it, ends up affecting, you know, your ultimate output. Like you're still just taking that output and reinvesting to make to make your old stuff faster or to open up new stuff to unlock very slowly. But there is kind of the like Zen Garden kind of appeal to it of just like, okay, I'm just going to come back and check at this, and then these upgrades necessitate me changing this around a little bit this time to keep it humming, you know.
I would not have been surprised if I found out that you were into these just because it is optimization.
Yeah.
Based, you know, there's overlap with strategy management games, but I just don't think they're as fun to me. I don't like being able to put them down. For a long period of time, like literally put them down. I've had Cookie Clicker running since I got up and started researching here. And I just unlocked the temple, which cost 20 million cookies. To buy, and it's taking me a long time to get to another one.
Yeah,
I'm just hanging out. Like I could click some stuff, but I don't, in this kind of very basic version of this, I don't understand what is fun about this,
right?
At all. And in more complicated versions, like when I did play these, when I play Cookie Clicker, Adventure Quest, stuff like that, I did it when I had a desk job at work.
Yeah,
so the novelty of playing a game at work was like really fun. You know, I'm kind of playing a game. I'm doing something that doesn't work.
Yeah.
I would rather be doing anything other than playing Cookie Clicker.
Yeah, reading something, you know, like, and not like, you know, like you were playing Cookie Clicker while I am reading a book.
I could be reading the classics. You could be reading the great masters, Cole, while idiots are playing NGU Idol. I understand.
Yeah, no, that is exactly the thing I'm claiming. No, more realistically, I'd be fucking around on Twitter or like reading something on TV Tropes, you know?
Yeah,
like
which is not like, good. It's not good behavior, but it's I still would get more out of it than this. Like I get nothing. You know, I get nothing.
Yeah. I mean, Cookie Clicker to me, like Cookie Clicker and Candy Box, I've played more of these than I realize. So like Cookie Clicker, Candy Box, there was one, I need to find it. There was the, A Dark Room that was there.
Oh yeah.
Deep Town was another one that I played. There was another one that was like, space exploration themed that I forget the name of, and it's not on my phone anymore because I kind of dropped it there. I never got into the adventure capitalist or whatever it is. Like, the second you start getting into, you can pay real money to get this, you know, to make this better, or it's expected to, that's when I immediately shut down.
I don't understand how anyone doesn't shut down from that. Like, it's right. So clear that you are a mark in that scenario. Like, Ian Bogost, who made the cow clicker to make fun of Farmville and those idle games, like, that's the behavior he's making fun of. And to the credit, like, my friends who are into these games, like, Brayton's real into them as well.
Yeah.
They're not paying real money for them. Like, no, nobody's that big of a sucker.
Right.
For this. But, like, I don't know. It just, there are artful ones that go and do something and kind of subvert the form, but you run into a little bit of Doki Doki Literature Club. Like, you have to engage with the thing as it is for a long time to get to the subversion.
And Cookie Clicker is one of those, like, grandma as this, you know, eldritch, you know, evil god, you know, outer being kind of deal, comes through in that. And like Cookie Clicker and Candy Box both end up being almost like little joke dispensers, kind of just like, oh, there's a little bit of, when I played Cookie Clicker, there's like, okay, like, well, what's the next biggest thing that they're gonna do? Oh, I didn't expect it to do that. It's like, how can we write scale in this in an interesting way? That seems like a fun creative challenge as the creator. That is a little bit of fun finding, but, you know, that is subsidiary to the appeal of these, which is it is designed to hook into certain people's brain chemistry.
Yeah. I just don't find the jokes very good as well in them. Like, it's not a very efficient joke delivery system, you know? And the ones that go for art things. So, like, Will is like, hey, play Universal Paperclips because this has a point and it has an end, you know, as kind of like the not the best of the genre, but like something that is accessible and shows some of the appeal of the genre. And like, I kind of enjoyed it. You know, it's not, I didn't have any fun, but you always have these parts where, like, I'm frustrated because I'm waiting to buy stuff. I understand I'm just going to buy some. I know the bounding space of what can happen is just making numbers go up. And I'm just kind of frustrated and bored and want something different to happen. And the straw man in my head is like, oh, that's video games though. Video games are all just numbers go up and you get the dopamine and no, there's expression and there's, you know, there's fail conditions. Fail conditions make something a game, you know, make it so I can win or lose, you know, or something like that. Like, I don't think that is, if this is just the illusion laid bare, it is laid too bare for me to tolerate.
Also the idea, like, if I am really engaging in one of these, the idea that this is something that can go on in the background, that is not something that is operative because, okay, it will take a while until I can afford something new, right? Well, I could probably do some, like, back the envelope math to figure out when that's going to happen. But, like, if I'm going to go and actually do a task, you know, like, and, you know, be focused on it for, like, say an hour or so, then I'm going to come back well after my action could have, you know, could have been taken.
Been and so most that's efficient.
If that's just sitting there, all of a sudden it becomes this little focus killer, right? That pulls me over. So, like, the interval between when you can take meaningful actions is almost always shorter and smaller than the time it would take to perform any kind of meaningful task other than fucking around with something else. So, like, if this is there and if it's in the rotation for me, it keeps my engagement with other stuff necessarily shallow when I don't want that. Like, that cannot be the way that I do stuff because, like, you know, if I'm playing something for a show, I can't be focused on this as well. Like, I need to be playing the game and taking notes. It can't happen alongside other stuff. And idle games do not coexist with that for me.
It's very poisonous to me.
Yeah.
That feeling of, like, and it's, you know, the argument would be, it doesn't matter if you come back and do it at the least efficient time, but none of it matters.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, it's not like you have to, I kind of have to throw mattering out.
Yeah.
You know, for this entire concept to work on me, I have to divest myself mm-hmm. of the idea that there are standards, mm-hmm. both in terms of a game, like within the Magic Circle, but also in terms of like how I want to spend my time at all. Yeah. You know, I have to, you know, and that is a common like thing when me and Will like will argue about this, like friendly argue, but argue, and he'll just be like, I just, you know, and he'll be like, I just don't, you know, I don't value my time. You know, that's your problem. You value your time. And like, I don't know how to respond to that. Like, I trust
you to know your life, but also that can't possibly be true.
It is one of those things where like, yeah, where somebody says it, but it's not, you know,
yeah,
I've seen you value your time. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to call him a liar, but also like, yeah, and it's
it,
like,
it means something that's not quite as direct as that.
Yes.
Like I am concerned less with the use of my time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a gradient. And then it's also a thing too, where like for him, you know, when he's written about this publicly too, I'm not telling tales out of school. Like
right.
he has several AV Club articles about it. Mm-hmm. It's a depression hole thing.
Yeah. That's well. All, that's also why it's dangerous for me. And that's why Stardew and Frostpunk and Satisfactory also plug into the same stuff. You know, that's why I say I cannot, or The Sims also, you know, works like that for me. You know, that's why I can't get near it, because I, you know, like I said, this You'll hooks into in. Brain chemistry. Yeah, I fall in. No, I can't be there.
Yeah. It's the originally, like when these were made to critique that element of brain chemistry, I not everybody shares my like disdain for that aspect of brains. Mm-hmm. Like my own as well. I just don't like that brains work that way. I don't, right. I don't want to acquiesce to it. I don't want to like, just be like, yeah, all I care about is dopamine squirts and being fooled into thinking numbers are better and mm-hmm. good number, good boy, go up.
Yeah.
You know, number high, therefore good Gary. Like mm-hmm. I spend a lot of my time trying to resist that.
Yeah.
As a feeling or as like a mode to interact with the world.
It's a weird thing, right? Because you know, to be meaningfully playing the game, I need to feel like my input is actually affecting something, you know, mm-hmm. and that feels reductive and that feels like a bleep bloop robot, you know, but that is the analysis that this genre and the, you know, these mechanics kind of force us, you know, to talk about it in. So I apologize if I'm saying something, you know, really, really, really basic there, saying like, oh, it just plays itself just suboptimally. Like, well, no, it's not, nothing is playing. Like it's going, it's heading in a direction. But for me to be engaging with this, I need to be in a position where I can come back and touch the button every 4.5 minutes in order to make it happen. That is me actually engaging with it. And there are whole other games. There's a like Neptune's Pride or something like that. Web-based strategy, space empire and like space army management games where like ships move in real time. You know, mm-hmm. and, you know, just like, okay, you may only touch that, you know, once or twice in a day. But the decisions that you are making are really important and can make or break you, because you are, you know, this is a big thing that Idle Thumbs talked about, for, you know, because they had a big game of this going, you're making like actual decisions about who you're like betraying and who you're making alliances with and stuff. That to me is, you know, a version of like, okay, yes, this is a game that you are minimally interacting with, but it is highly impactful when you do it, as opposed to this, which is, it just has momentum. This ball is always rolling. You can just, or this hoop is always rolling. You can just kind of like run up behind it and hit it with a stick every once
in a
while.
Push a little bit faster.
Yeah, yeah. To make it go a little bit faster. And then it goes back to the same speed once you stop doing it. Like there, like that has to be a difference.
There's a huge difference. Like the first thing that you're talking about is like play by post strategy games, you know, which were a huge thing for all. Mm-hmm. You'd make one or two moves a week through mail.
Yeah.
And, but it's still just a board game. Mm-hmm. It's still just a strategy game. The level of engagement that you have is not, to me, is not the damning factor with these. It's not the amount that I'm pressing a button.
Yeah.
You know, I can play something that you don't press buttons that often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just about the hoop moves forward and I control how fast the hoop moves. And sometimes I do more complicated verbs to make that hoop move faster, depending on the game. But that's always going to be the end goal. the context yeah. around the actions is purposely like largely absent. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a theme, but there's not a goal.
Right.
You know, and they'll use that to a critique like expansionism and over ever growing maximalism and such, something mm-hmm. that I already think sucks.
Yeah.
So like, you know, the end of Universal Paperclips is cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it also feels like a trick you could do once and should have just like been the end of the genre to me.
Yeah.
Like it said the thing that the genre can say, you know, but these are hugely popular. They're not going anywhere. Like right. we're the outlier with these, in not digging them, which is a weird feeling as well.
That's the thing. An incredibly weird feeling. And I want to know if you feel this way too, is, the fact that there is a very popular Forgotten Realms game, that is constantly getting new content that I have no interest in playing because of this poisonous interaction model. And also the fact that it's ugly as sin.
I don't feel that weird about it because I don't like, there's a lot of, you know, a theme, like a license.
Yeah.
You know, I also wouldn't want to play a D&D character action game very much.
Right.
You know, that's not what it is to me.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like a, basically like a pinball theme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, it's weird to me. It's weird when I see it pop up on Steam with folks playing it. And like, yeah. I'm just kind of surprised, you know, not for me, big time, not for me. Makes me cranky and irritable. I do not find it relaxing and I do not have satisfaction of like getting the thing. Like right now, my cookie clicker's on in the background. When we began this episode, I bought another temple, about 3 million away from getting another temple. And so what? Like I'll click on that and then I'll get to the next thing a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take any joy in that. You know, I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't know. I just, I recognize that there are, you know, that I have the receptors for that chemical, you know?
Yeah.
And if I am going to indulge that, I want it to be in something like a Satisfactory, which I realize makes me sound like a snob or whatever. So I'm like, oh yes, I get the same version. Just like me, you know, like, oh, I'm reading, you know, like I still recognize that I'm reading.
It doesn't make you a snob because like the thing this is tapping into, it's like layers of carbohydrate.
Yeah.
You know, like this is just the simplest version of it and needing, you know, like at a base level of video game, you do get to watch accomplishments happen that you have a varying degree of input into and see success as it is defined by that individual game. Like that is true of each individual game, you know, like you can break this down to its constituent parts enough to where it sounds like there's no difference. And you're just saying, I like the smart version. You like the dumb version. Mm-hmm. What you're actually saying though, is that those differences are huge to you.
They're gigantic.
Differences make a big they're make and break. And same thing for me, like I don't have the capacity to break down video games into their incremental game simple carbs, you know, or complicated carbs if it's a very complicated incremental game. Like if that term is insulting, that's not my intention. I just mean to take the satisfaction of just always getting bigger as a thing. So buying that temple right now, I've got two. Nothing happened. My satisfaction level did not go up. Right. I'm now building 27,000 cookies per second.
Yes. Scientific notation. There you are. It's going to be ultimately bigger than God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Done.
Cool.
Yes. I just don't have any, I also think that early on when these came out, they moved into a, like the Eldritch Goddess, that is the grandma in this is a pretty cheap and basic form of internet irony.
Yeah.
That was kind of the trick we had for like a long time.
It was one of them.
We didn't have a lot.
Yeah.
Going on.
Wow. 2013. Weird.
Yeah.
It was 2013. When did this come out?
Cookie Clicker?
Yeah. No, it was 2013. That feels way late. That feels extremely late.
That does seem late. There were ones before this.
Right.
This Cow Clicker is 2010.
Yeah.
And then Progress Quest. Adventure Quest. Yeah. Progress Quest.
Yeah. Which, man, probably, I don't know. Also, Progress Quest does not feel like a functional parody of EverQuest to me. Because, like,
no.
like, yeah, you were leveling up or whatever, but like when you reached a new level, you got like new, like you unlock spells and you could survive in new areas and go in complete quests and stuff.
They got new, like, verbs.
I can go deeper into this continent. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can be more useful to my guild. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also the social aspect to it, which is hard to, you know, social aspects of these things. Like, I love gaming as a solitary pursuit, but I recognize social gaming as a thing that is a booster, you know, for games. Like, I bought the Cowabunga collection and played through the first Turtles arcade game last night, which was a reasonable amount of fun. Would have been more fun with somebody else.
Yep.
You know, that's how those games are meant to work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I
find them frustrating when I deal with them, and it's frustrating to me when this design does creep into other stuff.
Yeah.
You run into that real-time waiting is something that is part of the lineage of this and like social games.
Also, like, it worked its way in a little bit in Metal Gear 5.
Yeah, I was gonna say. It was in Metal Gear 5, it was in State of Decay. It's a big part of Dragon Age Inquisition. I don't care for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't like it when I play a video game and it feels like a clicker, that is the most damning thing I can think about it.
Yeah.
Like, Diablo 3 plays like a clicker to me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel appreciably different. That's odious.
Yeah.
That's a really bad feeling to me.
Mm-hmm. I know recommendations are poison, but just when we're talking about, you know, games that could feel like clickers, you know, just ways to get around it. Management sims oftentimes, you know, for you can fall into that a little bit easier. Have you heard of or played a city builder called T-30?
I've never heard of it.
T-30, the world is going to end in 30 minutes. And you are managing the kind of this effort to build, to kind of like convert these ruins, use the resources that are in the ruins of these cities, to build up and ultimately evacuate as many people as possible. So it is 30 minute kind of like almost like speed run of getting a working economy up. With power, water, and training people, and ultimately building all of this infrastructure that you need to build the launch sites to get people off of the planet. But it is always done in 30 minutes, is what you're playing it in. The way that it gets different is, it gets harder as you go along, is it complicates the starting condition. So you have less usable land, fewer structures to mine to salvage other stuff out of it, more water, less water, stuff like that. And by constraining it, it feels like it is entirely engaging with the space optimization and like jumping those curves, those production curves, and getting everything built in the right way to get to build up as many people as possible. Yeah. No, I just wanted to make that recommendation because that really worked for me. It came out a couple of years ago.
It looks neat for sure. It's for me, I like to have, I can do an optimization based game. Like, I can do a, Factorio or something like that. Or like, what am I thinking? Maybe it's Infinite Factory, the 3D Zachtronics.
Yeah. Infinite Factory is the Zachtronics one.
Yeah. I can do those, but I just, once I clear the bar, I've cleared it.
Yep.
You know, I just want to see credits. Mm-hmm. I don't want to improve my score in things. Same thing like when I play Guitar Hero, like I just want to get through the song. I never want to do, compete for scores. So like, this is something where I could see playing it and being like, oh, the next time I do this, I could do this and do it better, and doing a few runs of it, but I'm never going to keep doing it, I don't think.
It's got a little bit of that mobile game, like, okay, you can beat this, and like, you know, you got 2 stars on this one because you didn't go for the bonus objective kind of deal. There are lots of new maps that you can do, like the basically a whole campaign of it escalating as it goes. So it's like new scenarios.
Going map to map sounds cool to me. Like that is, and just the success marker is I completed the map.
Yes.
You know, if I wanted to go back and do better times, I could, but there's nothing pushing me to do that. That's interesting. to me.
Also, I'm not holding a gun to your head saying, hey, play this. Just saying, like,
I'm just thinking about it out loud.
Yeah.
Like as a thing, like it's the same thing that stops me from, I know, you know, so many people I love and respect, like good friends of mine will play those Zachtronic games and they're just like, how can I do this better?
Yes.
And I never, you know, and same thing when we did Frostpunk, like I just wanted to tell my story.
Yeah.
You know, go through it. The journey was the important part to me. It wasn't how efficient I could make it. You know, there are games where I can get into optimization, you know, but typically they're not on that scale.
Yeah.
Just for me personally.
Yeah.
So, but it is a spectrum. Like there is a kind of like, you know, there are things that I like that fall under clicker headings as well. You know, things that like, you watch numbers go up that go into Skinner box mode.
Yeah.
You know, that I can get into, like, I'm not immune to it either. It's just, there's a, you can push the lever too far for me.
Yeah.
You know, that is all. That 30 minute timer reminds me of Vampire Survivors, which is a game that I should like a lot more than I do, but makes me very stressed.
You know, I never played it. There's that whole, is that part of like a genre of like auto battler kind of things? I've never had it described to me in a way that felt like it made sense.
It's not an auto battler, means something different.
Okay.
This is kind of like a arena, like kind of an overhead, almost like Serious Sam thing, like waves of enemies will come at you.
Okay.
And you will always be shooting. You just control your movement and you avoid enemies and always be whipping and just try to kill enemies and collect power ups that allow you to kill enemies better.
Gotcha.
And they come in waves and waves, and the longest a run can last is a half hour. They're all unlocks and characters that behave differently because it's got roguelike DNA.
Right.
You know,
the reason why I'm confusing it for an auto battler is because a lot of the folks on the level, by which I mean everybody except me and Jala, got really into Snake RX. Did any of your people fall into Snake RX?
If they did, they didn't tell me about it. I don't know.
Which is auto battler, but with Snake on top of it. And then they immediately went over to Vampire Survivors. So I think in my head, I conflated them because of that.
Yeah. I mean, they probably share a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? I just think, you know, the thing that you and I have in common is like a wariness and lack of, you know, kind of suspicion for forever games.
Yeah.
Like wanting to get into a free to play thing, you can just play forever. I don't want that. And part of it's the job, but part of it is just like, I like art that ends.
I mean, you know? the only thing that I really got into before the job that felt like that was MMOs, but even those had like story content that I was trying to see, or like, no, I want to go there. I want to see that place. Yeah. I want to,
and social,
what do I need to,
aspect of it too.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, well, how strong do I need to be, or like what people do I need to find to like get over there and do that, fight that cool dragon?
Yeah. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
Like an ending. There's a whole world of games out there though. It's such a big pie. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's useful and interesting to me. I hope this episode wasn't torture for people, because it's kind of a weird mini off. Like this is your watch out for fireballs and cookie clicker. This is what you're getting. It's interesting to me to kind of think about this stuff, because video games are made up of all these different component parts. A lot of these games, even games that are very far away from something that I would like, engages in common elements that like appeal to different, like very, very broad principles.
Yeah.
Of gaming, like what rewards are, how do you define a success condition? How important is a fail condition? Like, what is the difference between cookie clicker, which literally cannot fail, and a Mario game where you have unlimited lives?
Right.
You know, and you also can't fail. Like, those questions are really interesting. It's really useful. This genre, the best thing it does for me personally is create this extreme edge case that is useful for thought experiments. You know, it stands up in contrast to things to make questions about video games and their constituent parts, you know, it's more useful.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. I was a little distracted there because I saw something that made my vision go red, which is something I think we can both get on the, we can both get on the same page with, a porn idol game called Shelter 69.
Oh
yeah, with anime girls. I'm looking at a lady. No hole goes unplugged on this lady.
Well.
For sale on Steam, free to play.
No hole goes unplugged, eh?
Yeah,
Yeah. No one left behind.
Yeah.
If you want to get as far away from my mindset as you ever possibly could, it'd be like enjoying clicker games to masturbate to. Like, what's happening in your brain?
Yeah. Like, what's going on? If you want to see the opposite of Gary.
I kind of want to watch numbers go up, but I kind of want to get off, but I kind of want to be playing a video game, but I kind of want to browse Aaron at the same time. Yeah. I got to be able to doing all these things at once. I don't know.
Oh, like, God.
Yeah, that's wild to me.
And I wounded myself by clicking that because, you know, because it's a porn game on Steam, you have to be logged in to see it. And so I
now
was
it's
tempted.
In your recommendations.
Like, and now it's going to get in there. Fuck.
Yep. Yep. They know what you like. They're going to get you.
It's like, I don't like this. I'm looking at a car crash. You assholes.
Yep. Yep.
Oh.
Anywho.
Anywho. Sorry for that long, very on topic. Suffering. Yeah, it's a WAF.
Yeah, it's a secret WAF. Yep. We can put it in the description just so people know. Secret WAF.
Secret WAF.
Secret WAF. You know, and the show contains multitudes.
Yes, it does.
I'm fine with it being mm-hmm. this every once in a while.
If you like the multitudes it contains, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Indeed. And if you would like to suggest or demand a game, you can do that there. That will not necessarily result in this. You'll get bonus episodes of this as well as mm-hmm. whole other shows, including you'll get this regardless whether you patronize, but it because of patrons we're able to do this, our new show coming out, Best Quality Vacuum. So keep an eye mm-hmm. out for that. But the Breaking Bad universe.
Yes. Big thanks to Jason for patronizing us and picking this game. Interesting to talk about. You don't have to be like him to help us out. You can go and leave ratings or reviews. It's all good, man. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of other stuff, and that's about it. I think that might just be about it.
That's it. What should they do until next time, Cole?
Until next time, expand your shelter in a unique take on the post-apocalypse genre, thrown straight into the wild world where women reign supreme across all the wastelands. You are the last male, and all is for your taking.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.